Iran's uranium deal unravels within hours of U.S. bombing campaign. The Treaty on the Nonproliferation of Nuclear Weapons opened its five-year review conference in New York on April 27, 2026, with its credibility in freefall and the fundamental bargain that underpins global nuclear order unraveling in real time. The backdrop, a fragile ceasefire between the United States and Iran, an emerging Hormuz deal that sidesteps nuclear constraints, and a nuclear-armed Israel that has never signed the treaty bombing a compliant signatory state. For institutional capital tracking geopolitical risk, the question is no longer whether the NPT can constrain proliferation. It is whether the treaty survives at all, and what replaces it. The review conference centers on Iran's enriched uranium stockpile, what remains, where it sits, and what becomes of it. On February 27, Omani Foreign Minister Badr Albaceti announced Iran had agreed to zero accumulation, zero stockpiling, and full International Atomic Energy Agency verification, with existing material to be downblended to natural uranium levels and converted to fuel. Hours later, U.S. and Israeli strikes commenced. Now, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi has circulated a proposal that decouples Strait of Hormuz reopening from nuclear talks, pushing the latter to an unspecified later stage, according to diplomatic sources. The U.S. has not confirmed the proposal's contents. White House spokeswoman Olivia Wales said Washington will not negotiate through the press and would only accept a deal preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. Rebecca Johnson, director of the Acronym Institute for Disarmament Diplomacy, captured the institutional decay. The possession of nuclear weapons creates a sense of impunity. Nuclear-armed states increasingly use their arsenals not simply as deterrents but also as geopolitical shields that embolden conventional military action. The treaty's design assumed reciprocal constraint. That assumption has collapsed. Why this matters, the strategic realignment no one priced in the NPT rests on a transactional exchange. Non-nuclear states forego weapons while nuclear powers commit to eventual disarmament. In return, all signatories retain rights to peaceful nuclear technology under IAEA supervision. That grand bargain, opened for signature in 1968 and entered into force in 1970, now binds 191 member states. Five countries hold formal nuclear weapon status: the US, Russia, China, the United Kingdom, and France, all permanent UN Security Council members. The third pillar, peaceful nuclear use, has largely held. The second pillar, disarmament, has not. Sahar Khan, non-resident fellow at the Institute for Global Affairs, told Al Jazeera, "The NPT's grand bargain has fundamentally broken down because all nuclear weapon states are modernizing their arsenals at an alarming rate, especially China." Hossein Mousavian, who worked on Iran's nuclear diplomacy team in EU and IAEA negotiations, added that credibility has eroded through inconsistent enforcement. Attacks on IAEA-safeguarded nuclear facilities have not drawn clear and consistent responses from the UN Security Council or the IAEA, raising concerns among non-nuclear states about fairness and equal treatment. The 2000 NPT Review Conference was the last major consensus moment before the 2003-2011 Iraq War undermined faith in the international arms control system and fractured relations between nuclear and non-nuclear states. Frustration with the NPT process helped drive support for the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, adopted in 2017, which offers an alternative disarmament path outside nuclear powers' control. The structural imbalance, who's in, who's out, and why it matters four UN member states never signed the treaty: India, Pakistan, Israel, and South Sudan. India and Pakistan tested nuclear weapons in 1998. Israel maintains deliberate opacity, neither confirming nor denying possession, though it is widely believed to hold at least 90 warheads. North Korea joined in 1985, was found non-compliant, withdrew in 2003, and has since conducted multiple nuclear tests. The treaty's architecture creates a permanent structural imbalance. States that tested nuclear weapons before January 1, 1967, are permanently recognized as nuclear powers, while all others must forego them indefinitely. Iran joined the NPT in 1974 and has never withdrawn, underpinning Tehran's claim to the same rights as any other signatory, including uranium enrichment for civilian purposes. Khan pointed to the contradiction. The one thing that no one is talking about is how Israel is not a member of the NPT, yet has nuclear weapons, and has been able to bomb a signatory of the NPT that does not have nuclear weapons. This war has set a dangerous precedent, that if you have nuclear weapons, you can attack a state you believe has the intention to develop them. Iran's nuclear program drew limited scrutiny for decades after it joined the NPT. That changed in 2002 when a dissident group revealed undeclared uranium enrichment facilities at Natanz and a heavy water reactor in Arak. The 2015 Iran nuclear deal, formally known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, was designed precisely to prevent the current scenario. The US withdrew from that agreement in 2018. The Hormuz Gambit, decoupling energy security from nuclear constraints, Iran's latest diplomatic offensive, led by Iraqi across Russia, Pakistan, and Oman over 72 hours, aims to secure broader buy-in for a proposal that reopens the Strait of Hormuz while deferring nuclear talks. Iraqi met Russian President Vladimir Putin in St. Petersburg on April 27 after two Islamabad visits in 2 days, sandwiching a Muscat meeting, where senior intelligence officials from several countries were present, according to sources close to the talks. The proposal focuses on the Strait of Hormuz, regional security guarantees, and a settlement framework, with nuclear issues set aside for later. Pakistan is transmitting messages between Tehran and Washington after direct talks on April 11 in Islamabad failed to produce a breakthrough. President Trump told Fox News on April 26, they cannot have a nuclear weapon. Otherwise, there's no reason to meet, adding that Iran was welcome to reach out via secure lines. The diplomatic push unfolds against a May 1 deadline under the 1973 War Powers Resolution, by which Trump must obtain congressional authorization to continue military operations against Iran, now in their ninth week. A fourth bipartisan Senate bid to invoke the resolution was defeated 52-47 on April 15. Republican lawmakers have largely backed Trump, but several have stated support will not extend beyond the 60-day window without formal congressional approval. The Hormuz blockade has created what one analyst termed a billion-barrel oil shock that threatens to crash demand. The United Arab Emirates announced on April 28 it is leaving Oprah Equitique on May 1, citing the decision as reflecting its long-term strategic and economic vision and evolving energy profile, including accelerated investment in domestic energy production. The UAE joined Oprah Equitique nearly 60 years ago, just years after the cartel's establishment. Its departure follows years of friction over production caps, with the UAE pushing to raise quotas and produce more oil while Saudi Arabia, Oprah Equitique's largest producer and dominant force, pushed back. Implications for institutional capital. What the market is missing: the NPT's credibility crisis carries second-order effects that institutional capital has not fully priced. First, the treaty's erosion removes a key constraint on regional proliferation. If the norm that non-nuclear signatories cannot be attacked by nuclear powers collapses, the incentive structure shifts. States that remained within the NPT framework expecting protection now face a different calculation. Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, and others will reconsider their options. Second, the bifurcation of Hormuz reopening from nuclear talks creates a new template for crisis resolution. Decouple immediate economic pressure from longer-term strategic constraints. This is rational from Tehran's perspective but dangerous from a nonproliferation standpoint. It establishes precedent that nuclear issues can be indefinitely deferred while other concessions are extracted. For energy markets, this means Hormuz relief may arrive before nuclear clarity, stabilizing oil flows but leaving the proliferation question unresolved. Third, the UAE's Oprah Equitique exit signals a broader realignment in Gulf energy politics. The UAE has chafed at production caps for years, and political relations with Saudi Arabia have soured beyond oil, with the two countries backing opposing forces in Yemen and competing economically. The Iran war has strengthened the UAE's ties with partners outside the traditional Saudi orbit. If the UAE can secure better terms outside Oprah Equitique, other producers may follow, fragmenting the cartel's leverage and reducing the effectiveness of coordinated production cuts as a geopolitical tool. And number 10,022. Takeaways by Plaquemines AI Hyde and number 9650. On February 27, 2026, Iran agreed to an #X27, zero accumulation and #X27, and an #X27, zero stockpiling and #X27, of enriched uranium with full IAEA verification, but U.S. and Israeli strikes commenced hours later. The NPT, which entered into force in 1970 and currently binds 191 member states, rests on a grand bargain where non-nuclear states forego weapons while the five nuclear powers, US, Russia, China, UK, France, commit to eventual disarmament. Four UN member states never signed the NPT: India, Pakistan, Israel, and South Sudan, with Israel widely believed to hold at least 90 nuclear warheads while maintaining deliberate opacity. The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, adopted in 2017, emerged as an alternative disarmament path outside nuclear powers and #X27 control due to frustration with NPT enforcement and the 2003-2011 Iraq War. Key risk: if the NPT review conference ends without meaningful consensus, non-nuclear states may accelerate alternative frameworks like the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, fragmenting nuclear governance and reducing transparency. The Plaquemines view the NPT review conference is not a policy debate. It is a funeral. The treaty's survival depends on mutual restraint and credible enforcement, both of which have evaporated. What we are witnessing is the real-time collapse of a 58-year-old regime that assumed nuclear powers would exercise self-discipline and non-nuclear states would accept permanent inferiority. Neither assumption holds. The investment thesis here is straightforward. Nuclear governance fragmentation accelerates regional proliferation, which in turn drives defense spending, enrichment technology demand, and strategic commodity positioning. Saudi Arabia will not remain a non-nuclear state if Iran retains enrichment capacity. Turkey will not accept a regional order where it lacks strategic parity. Egypt will follow suit. Each of these states has the technical capacity and financial resources to pursue a weapons program if political constraints lift. The Hormuz decoupling proposal is the critical signal. If the U.S. accepts Hormuz reopening without nuclear resolution, it signals Washington prioritizes energy market stability over proliferation constraints. That is a rational choice given May 1st congressional deadline pressure and Trump's transactional instincts, but it confirms the NPT's subordination to immediate economic and political interests. For institutional capital, this means energy volatility moderates faster than proliferation risk, creating a timing arbitrage. The UAE's Opravate equity exit is the second signal. The Gulf is fracturing. Saudi-Emirati coordination, once the bedrock of Gulf energy policy, is no longer reliable. Opravate equity's ability to enforce production discipline weakens. This favors producers with low breakevens and flexible output, disadvantages high-cost producers, and reduces the cartel's geopolitical leverage. For equity positioning, this means favoring integrated majors with Gulf exposure but independent production bases, and underweighting pure Gulf plays dependent on Opravate equity coordination. The third-order play is enrichment technology and nuclear fuel cycle services. If proliferation accelerates, demand for centrifuges, fuel fabrication, and waste management rises. France's Orano, Russia's Rosatom, and select Western enrichment providers become strategic assets. Uranium spot prices will reflect not just reactor demand but strategic stockpiling. Cameco, Kazatomprom, and Paladin Energy warrant attention, but the real alpha is in fuel cycle services with dual-use applications. The NPT's collapse does not mean nuclear war is imminent. It means the regime that constrained nuclear competition for six decades no longer functions, and what replaces it will be more decentralized, less transparent, and more prone to miscalculation. That is the environment institutional capital must now navigate. The bottom line: the NPT review conference convenes at the moment the treaty's core assumptions have been disproven. A nuclear-armed non-signatory has bombed a compliant signatory. Nuclear powers are modernizing arsenals rather than disarming. Non-nuclear states see enforcement as selective and politicized. The grand bargain is dead. Iran's Hormuz proposal offers energy market relief but defers the nuclear question, establishing precedent that proliferation constraints are negotiable. The UAE's Opravate equity exit fragments Gulf coordination and reduces the cartel's leverage. Trump faces a May 1 war powers deadline with Republican congressional support conditional on time limits. For institutional capital, the playbook is clear. Energy volatility moderates faster than proliferation risk. Position for Hormuz reopening via crude shorts and refined product longs. Underweight Gulf plays dependent on Opravate equity coordination. Overweight integrated majors with diversified production. Allocate to uranium and nuclear fuel cycle services as proliferation accelerates. Hedge geopolitical tail risk via defense equities and strategic commodity exposure. The NPT was built for a different world. That world ended in February. What comes next will be more fragmented, less predictable, and more dangerous. The capital that recognizes this first will outperform.